Prime Day is coming July 16th and 17th, with epic deals exclusively for Prime members. You'll feel like you just won an award.
Oh, wow, I didn't even prepare a speech. I'd like to thank my family for always needing stuff. Also, Sam, my delivery guy, for bringing all my awesome deals so fast. You're the man, Sam!
Shop deals on electronics, home, and more this Prime Day, July 16th and 17th.
Just like backyard barbecues or a day at the pool, the Three Rivers Festival has always been a part of our summer fun. And the festival returns July 12th to the 20th. It kicks off with the annual Three Rivers Festival Parade. Browse art in the park with local artisans. Bring the family to Children's Fest. Stroll through Junk Food Alley. And don't forget about the festival concerts at the Hoosier Lottery stage with live music from nationally renowned acts. You can buy your concert tickets or check out a schedule of events at threeriversfestival.org. Don't miss the best summer experience in Fort Wayne, the Three Rivers Festival.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special Sunday night edition of The Wrap right here on the Fike Media Network on YouTube as we recap the highs and lows from NXT Battleground going down live from the UFC Apex Arena. I'm Keela Cash, and by my side, as always, is my co-captain, my right hand, the sometimes advocate for the rapidly improving Ms. Jada Parker from NXT. I bring to you, normally when we do a live show, a post-PLE, my guy, but the fresh cut is normally perky. He's happy. He's optimistic. But tonight, you see his face. He's a little surly. He's a little salty. And he's got something to say. So I bring to you the one and the only on a PLE Sunday, Salty Scott Young. Welcome back, Salty.
Well, let's get to the good stuff. As always, Keela, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE with you. So I'm happy to be here for that. We had a show and stuff happened. Good, a lot of bad to me. But, you know, it is what it is. We'll get to it. Yeah, the good is we about to chop it up and have a good time.
Yes, and normally when a show just merely exists, that is when we do some of our finest work, because there is a lot to say about this show. I felt as if the Savannah people got screwed over. They could have had this show tonight in Savannah in front of a livelier crowd, I believe, in front of a bigger crowd, a bigger building, a more livelier atmosphere, the true setup for a WWE live event. I know the TKO and WWE, they go hand in hand these days. I just think that this idea of running a show at the UFC Apex was a misfire in terms of the atmosphere, the setup, because the setup reminded me of when they initially did NXT 2.0 nearly 3 years ago. And when they initially did the setup, everything and that PC was so tight and so compact and constricted that you really couldn't do anything. It was too jam-packed. Eventually, they renovated and they gave more spacing for the ring, the announce table, and for the fans, which was good. But this was a reminder of this was too cramped. The set didn't do much for me at all. The fans for a lot of the show was dry. The atmosphere was whack last night. I'm not going to lie.
Not only that, it didn't have that same feel. You know, when they came out, you didn't see that big crowd that they come out to, and it gave it a different feel. This just maybe felt like next door, you know, and instead of a different town, it felt like just next door. And I mean, the worst part is I thought the setup was pretty cool. Like, I think this is something cool that you could do for a weekly show, you know, like when they do, you know, their 2 week parts, you know, those specials that they do on TV. This is something cool for that. This would work perfectly for that. I'm cool with that. But that's one of the first things I noticed was this is cool, but this don't feel like the NXT PLE. You know, off top, it didn't have that same feel. Luckily, at least from the beginning, we had a lot of energy. And the women, man, they've been really trying to carry NXT on their backs for the last few weeks. And they might have done it again tonight.
It is a very good possibility because the show just kind of fell flat for me. This was an experiment that I don't think they should ever do again. Like, stick to the basics. This was not like an NXT show. The NXT crowd wasn't an NXT crowd. Dare I say, if they actually ran the show at the PC crowd would have appreciated it because it's a takeover-like show on a Sunday that they would have gotten, and I think there would have been way more livelier. This atmosphere just wasn't it for me. I can understand what people say when they see the UFC fight nights from this very place. It's very sterile and dry and dead, and we kind of got that vibe throughout the night, and I felt like this was not an NXT show. This is like an advertisement for UFC Apex. Say, our facility is great and it's awesome and it's splashy and it's really, really cool, but it's not WWE. It's not NXT. It's two different things. And I think it's high time with this partnership that we have going on right now that they need to understand these are two separate entities with two separate presentations that don't always cross over well together.
Well, I don't know. I didn't mind the presentation. I just don't think it's just not the PLE feel. Like, you, when you go, when I'm coming into one of these NXT shows on the weekend, I need the grand, you know, the grand feel. I like I said, I would be cool with this if this was, you know, if this was when they do like the spring break-in and stuff like that. Like, this, that would be cool. Like, I think this would be different and feel different and cool. But to be a Sunday night PLE, you know, going against an NBA playoff game, a finals game, it's a bit underwhelming. So, you know, it is what it is. And it's no knock on the talent or anything like that. Like, everyone worked hard. But, man, it's just in the back of your mind. You're like, Georgia, Georgia.
The whole day through, just no sweet song.
I'm just saying, man, like, you know, what could have been. But, yeah, it is what it is.
Man, Savannah got screwed. That's all I got to say, man. Y'all deserve this show in hindsight, but hopefully y'all get one before the end of the year. But let's dive into the show that was NXT Battleground going down live from UFC Apex. We kick things off with a tag, not the tag team championship match. That was next. We kicked it off with the inaugural NXT North American Women Championship ladder match. First time winner of this championship belt, just like we did way back in 2018 at NXT TakeOver New Orleans. And our competitors were Kalani Jordan, Lash Legend, Meechan, Fallon Henley, Sol Ruka, and Jada Parker. And I have to say, off top, the ladies mostly looked expensive. The gears were gearing. Now, Fallon, it was hot as hell in Las Vegas. It's 107 degrees. You got a mink fur coat on. But as soon as you took it off, I said, oh, you look expensive. As did Meechan looked good. Lash looked good. Everybody looked real clean, but the wardrobe budget definitely went up for this match. So, Scott, from first glances, who had the best gear in this match?
Oh, man, the best gear, the best, because, you know, if we're going best look, let me tell you, Fallon caught my eye. I was like, wait a minute now, hold up. You done went a little extra mile for the PLE, but best gear, I might go with Lash. You know, I might go with Lash. I thought she had the fit. I thought everything worked right there. So, yeah, Lash did it.
Lash, I would say, is a strong runner up. But Fallon, in terms of like the styling, like, it opened my eyes too. Like,
this was
elevated for Fallon. Like, she took the notes, understood the assignment, and she says, no, I am no longer going to be carrying a towel with me to the ring. I'm going to be elevated, and I'm here for it. She looked really, really good. It was kind of giving Mickey James a little bit, you know, when she had her cowgirl era. So I was digging it. So Fallon, like, took me, like, okay, I am here, I am seated, and I am good. And even Meechan, I said, come through, Meechan, come through, looking good as well. Everybody looked real nice in their gears. As for the match itself, a lot of climbing of ladders, lots of climbing of ladders, lots of races up the top and down and going, you know, outside and taking bumps on set ladder. We had moments here and there, nothing too life-threatening, nothing too risky, which was good because you have a lot of green ladies in this match. So you play to their strengths. You don't play to their weaknesses to expose them. You want to make sure everything goes off safely. But the highlight of this match was Soul Rooker hitting the Soul Snatcher in two different ways in like 10 seconds. First to Jada Parker, then to Fallon Henley. Goes up top, does not grab that championship belt. Lash had a shot at it, but then they all pressed her out of the ring and against a ladder, took a sick bump on the back. Great job by Lash, took her out of the match. And it basically came down to Kalani Jordan, who I did not have winning this match whatsoever. She was a dark horse, but she came through, handled business, took out her opponent, climbed the ladder, grabbed the championship belt. It was a very anticlimactic finish. No drama there. Just raced up there, grabbed it. No drama, no anticipation. Just grabbed it, won it. Congrats to her. But I thought this match, for the most part, was solid. But I think it could have went a little bit longer.
So this might have been my favorite match of the night. And I enjoyed it a lot more. And maybe it's because it just overexceeded my expectations so much. Like, you know what? That's on, completely on me for not giving these ladies enough credit. I know they're all young, you know, all don't have a ton of experience, especially in a match like this, big time environment, first time title holder. Like, this is a big spot. And they all showed up and showed out. Like, Kalani, even though I definitely didn't pick her, didn't think she was going to win, I thought she was the star of the match leading up to the finish. I will say that, like, throughout this entire match, I'm watching it going, man, she's standing out. She looks good. Every time she's hitting something, the crowd's getting louder and louder and louder, which is what you want as your baby face, your underdog baby face from underneath. And when she hit that moonsault, like, the crowd was, they were completely with her. The finish, I think, caught everybody off guard, but I will say at least the match was built to where she came off as the star to me. She came off as the one that was everywhere when a big spot was happening. That you know, that double finishers, Soul Snatchers, she, that was great too. And there was a spot earlier in the match where, you know, things were kind of slow at first and they built up real nicely. Like, there, where it started to build was Kalani hit a dive. Then Soul Rooker went and hit a moonsault to the outside. And then everybody just went on this flurry and everybody started hitting finishes. Lash hit a pump kick. Fallon hit a 619 from around the post from one corner to the other and hit Kalani coming off the ring apron. So they were hitting some flurries. I really enjoyed this match. I thought they did a really good job. And, you know, props to HBK for even putting these ladies in this position, because I, including myself, when you saw who was in the match, it was like, wow, that's a risky thing to do, but they all did their thing and props to them. They killed it. I thought they killed it.
I thought everybody did a good job. I enjoyed the match. I just wanted it to be a little bit longer. I liked the sprint aspect of it as well. I thought everybody was where they needed to be. I thought Fallon did a great job in this match as well. Lash was powerhouse in there. Took that bump, took herself out the match. I was like, well, she's not going to win. I said, who's the next runner up here? Would it be Jada Parker? No. Would it be Soul Rooker? No. It was Kalani Jordan, a very surprising pick. And I think that it's going to open the opportunities for her to kind of find herself as a newly found champion in NXT. You're going to be anchoring this division right now, and there's going to be a plethora of opponents for her. And I think this will allow her to grow as a performer. And I think this speaks to the faith that HBK has in her. And I go back to her performance at Deadline back in December, 6 months ago, when I thought she was a standout in that match. And look now, look where she is right now, a champion on NXT, the first ever NXT North American Women's Champion. That is something that can never be taken from her. So I'm very happy that she got that moment last night, and it wasn't a very good match. Just wanted to be a wee bit longer. It ended kind of abruptly, but I'm very happy for her. But big test upcoming in terms of what she's able to do as champion and who she's got up to bat first as her initial opponent.
I'm going to be honest, I would probably, I might Zack Ryder her, you know, that sounds crazy.
Don't.
I, Listen, it's a great moment, but I might have somebody like Meechan just, you know, be like, hey, great job, you know, blase, blah, let's get your first defense and all this, and just have her destroy her, just pummel and beat the hell out of her and take that title on her first defense. That's what I would do. I don't really see you getting a lot out of her unless they're really just going to rocket ship her to the top. But she's going to have to carry a lot of these matches because this is the workhorse. This is where, you know, you really, these are the matches where you're going to be expecting. At least that's what the men's North American title was. So look at Oba. Oba's been holding it down. So we'll see what Kalani does, but I would Zack Ryder it.
Wow. Of course you would, because look who won that championship like the night after WrestleMania. So of course you would suggest such a thing. And who was the benefactor of that? Michael Mazan. And so of course you would say, let's Zack Ryder her and let's have someone beat her for the championship. Like a Meechan, maybe your client Jada Parker would be a candidate for that perhaps. But it's very interesting to me that you would go the Mazanin route of all routes.
And listen, it don't have to be Meechan, but I just say her because I can see her being very physical and just being able to toss her around. Lash isn't a heel anymore. Jada would be cool, but I'd rather Jada have the moment winning the match and then be able to have the promo to come on, because I think she could just cut this killer promo. And maybe Kalani will change my mind Tuesday, but we'll see what happens. But that's just what I would do. Unless she comes out and changes my mind, I just don't see a lot of legs in this.
It's definitely going to be a test. We'll see where it goes. Walker HBK said, let's make Kalani the champion. This is a tall order for her, and this is a secondary title for WWE for the women's division, and this might be a test run to see what they would do on the main roster. So this is a big task to see if a secondary title can hold some water for the ladies on NXT. We've been asking for this for a minute. Now, at the time, the division a few years ago was way more stronger than it is right now in terms of the experience level, but I think this is going to be an opportunity for a lot of people to grow and really be able to carry this championship in the months and years to come. Big test for Kalani. Will she be a long-term champion? Will she be Zack Ryder and she'll be done in a day or maybe a month? We'll see about it, but big test for her upcoming as the new NXT North American Women's Champion. As we get to our next match, which is now for the NXT Tag Team titles, it was the Good Brothers, Karl Anderson and Luke Gallows versus Nathan Frazer and Axiom. Now, Scott talked about which Karl Anderson were we going to see on this show. Would it be Bright Lights Carl? Will it be the guy that has his wrestling boots on, ready to go? He's in tremendous shape. Or will it be like, you know, I'm just here for the check, not doing very much.
Dim Impact Anderson.
Dim Impact Anderson.
DIA.
Working the bare minimum from the Impact Zone. Which one showed up, Scott?
Hey, I'm gonna keep it a buck. Bright Light showed up, man. I thought Black showed up and he did his thing.
Black showed up.
I thought Black showed up and he did his thing out there.
He did. Very impressive, hitting TKOs in the ring off the middle rope very impressively as well. Luke Gallows had a good night. I was very impressed by him. Like, the Good Brothers had their boots on to work, and Nathan Frazer and Axiom were always there for every spot. And when Nathan Frazer got that freaking hot tag, that dude moved 35 miles an hour in the ring. He was fast, quick. I'm like, slow down, dude. He's so good, but slow down, hon. You have to slow down. You're going to hurt yourself out there. But he was just electric. And we had moments where you thought the Good Brothers could win this match, but it came down to Axiom and Nathan Frazer doing a double team as Nathan took out Luke Gallows at ringside. And then that allowed Axiom to hit the Spanish Fly. And that had Frazer hit the Phoenix Splash off the top rope to retain the NXT Tag Team titles. I thought this was probably the best worked match of the night without shenanigans.
Prime Day is coming July 16th and 17th. With epic deals exclusively for Prime members, you'll feel like you just won an award.
Oh, Wow, I didn't even prepare a speech. I'd like to thank my family for always needing stuff. Also Sam, my delivery guy, for bringing all my awesome deals so fast. You're the man, Sam!
Shop deals on electronics, home, and more this Prime Day, July 16th and 17th.
Just like backyard barbecues or a day at the pool, the Three Rivers Festival has always been a part of our summer fun. And the festival returns July 12th to the 20th. It kicks off with the annual Three Rivers Festival Parade. Browse art in the park with local artisans. Bring the family to Children's Fest. Stroll through Junk Food Alley. And don't forget about the festival concerts at the Hoosier Lottery stage with live music from nationally renowned acts. You can buy your concert tickets or check out a schedule of events at threeriversfestival.org. Don't miss the best summer experience in Fort Wayne, the Three Rivers Festival.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
I can second that. I second everything you said. Really fun match. And, you know, I think it's very important that Nathan Frazier continue these type of performance. Like, he can do crazy stuff in the ring. And, you know, WWE is going to have a big hole to fill on the main roster when it comes to exciting baby faces who can just light it up and go against anybody. So I'm fully expecting him to be caught up in the next draft, or maybe even very soon in the next couple months, because I think he'll have a big spot to fill.
Yes, and we're talking about somebody that might be heading out the door imminently in WWE. We'll talk about it on Tuesday's episode of The Wrap right here on the Fight Game Media Network, live on YouTube. We're running it back. We're going to go in depth about whether or not, yes, breadcrumb clues. We're going to leave you teasing and wanting a little bit more, but this is going to be a good conversation as to whether or not someone should stay or leave, how that benefit this person moving forward. And there is a great way to write him out of WWE in a very dramatic way. We'll talk about it on Tuesday, but then let's get to our next match. I did not like this match very much. And I think, outside of a couple of exceptions, I think it's time to dead the underground concept. Shayna Baszler, Lola Vice. The reason I say this is because the presentation is too corny for me. If you're going to do a shoot-style gimmick match, you have a concept known as the fight pit. You handle business in the fight pit. I noticed on Peacock that we had a lot of commercials. For the first time, I saw a lot of NXT content that would normally be on Peacock Premium Plus if you are a WWE Network subscriber, and that's what you see. A lot of that was because they had to take down the ring, and then it had to build it back up for the next match. A lot of dead time. So when you have that on top of the match itself, with the planted ringside, the lights being extra darker than usual, my God, you can hardly see. I just didn't feel it very much. Lola and Shayna Baszler did the best they could. They're pros out there. I like the physicality in some spots. And Lola got the win by basically putting Shayna to sleep. Great. Victory for her. Shook that ass after the match was over. Good for her. As the sexy red who shook her ass at the top of the show and the middle of the show.
Hold on. Now that you bring since you brought it up, not only did she do that, she did the splits.
Yes, okay? Splits.
Keep it a buck. She did this. She went ahead and said, hey, I'm sexy. Get it. And did the splits and was just twerking everywhere. And that's how you knew this was going to be a show full of shenanigans.
Yes, it was. We had twerking, we had splits, we had ass shaking, we had ass tossing after Lola put Shayna out. Shayna was like, where am I? And all she saw was ass just shaking in her face after it was over.
But it
was crazy. And you know how she feels about that. Like, this is not cultured, okay? stop throwing your ass in my face. But yeah, the match itself was just there. I do not like Underground anymore because of how it's set up. If you're going to do a shoot style fight, do it in the fight pit. I took it way more seriously then versus whatever this is right now. It's a bit too much for me in terms of presentation, and the dim lighting did not help at all.
A couple things. First off, I want to say couple ratings real quick. First match, I'm probably ranking it a little high. Like I said, overrating a little bit, but I got full Soul Snatchers, four Soul Snatchers. In the second match, I'm gonna go with three and three quarters suicide dives, because one of those looked real scary. So 3 3/4. And as far as this match goes, I'm almost with you. I like the beginning of the match. Like, I thought they had a good pace at the beginning. I thought they had a good mix of the shoot. Like, I thought the first scoop slam was really well done. I thought the hammer fist, I thought they at least looked like they're attempting to do something. The hands were a little slow. I thought that Shayna at least looked like she was trying to throw hands. Like, she was like, yo, let's throw hands. Like, let's at least throw hands right now before we start getting into what we do, you know, on the wrestling side. Lola looks legit, but you could tell she was pulling her punches. You could tell she wasn't really trying to hit. I thought if they'd at least brought a little bit more intensity, because I like what they did at the beginning. I thought if they'd at least, when they were throwing hands, just put a little bit more into it, I thought that would have added a little bit. I didn't dislike this as much. I just thought it went a little bit too long. And something like this, you're not going to go this long in a fight. Like, that's just not going to happen. That's part of the appeal of an underground, of a fight pit. You're not going that long, especially without rounds and stopping and stuff like that. So I think that's the other issue, is you don't, this needs to be a sprint. Like, this needs to be a hands, feet, you know, big move, maybe a slam here, good out the ring or something, but it's got to be quick. It's got to be impactful. Everything's got to be impactful. There shouldn't be any downtime, especially in a match like this with no rounds and stuff like that. And I think the pacing of it really hurt. If they'd have just kept balls to the wall like they did in the beginning, I'm with it. And then we get to the finish. And she did knock her out and they stopped it, a TKO finish. But it's because Shayna hit her head. Like, they had her trip over the referee and hit her head into the steel steps. Like, what are we doing? Have Lola cheat. Have Lola be the reason, that not some happen chance, and then you have the heel take advantage of it, because the babyface should do the same thing. Because if the babyface doesn't, then they're an idiot. Simple as that. So have her cheat in some way. Maybe have her go get some brass knuckles. Like, why can't she have brass knuckles? Are brass knuckles off the table because Logan Paul uses it? Is nobody in the company allowed to use that anymore? Was that handed out in the last memo? It's so simple, especially with the referee down right there on the ground. Instead of having her trip, just have her grab him somewhere. She knew what she was doing, or something. Just absolutely anything else besides Shayna tripping and hitting the steps. Have Lola be the reason. But this gets two and a half shakes for me.
Two and a half shakes. Okay. Could
you see the backstage segment with the three ladies? That was literally two and a half shakes.
Yes, because Kelly wasn't shaken. She was like, why am I here? I'm here to do my job. I'm not here to shake anything and throw it back. So what is this? What is happening? But yeah, the match was what it was, a very weird finish, but good for Lola. She beats Shayna Baszler, who is one of the more prolific women ever to step foot in NXT as a 2-time NXT Women's Champion. Her dominance speaks for itself, and to beat her that way is pretty impressive. I heard some discourse about how Lola beat Shayna Baszler, but Shayna beat Ronda Rousey. It's like, how does that happen? Like, well, it happened.
And let me say this, Lola looks legit. Don't get what I said, you know, don't let what I say twist it. Like, when she was moving and when she looks like she would whoop somebody's tail if they came at her the wrong way, legit. And she's a legit fighter. So, like, there's That's me saying you could tell she was pulling her punches, not that her punches don't look legit. There's a big difference in those two, because let me tell you, she looked like if she really wanted to, she could throw them hands. Like, she's a real fighter. Like, she's not somebody to be played with. Just because she can shake that thing like that don't mean she is somebody to be played with.
No, she's a threat out there. She's a threat out there for sure. Absolutely. And that's why she shakes her rump after it's over, because she said, I whooped that ass, now I'm going to shake that ass. Right. Okay, Shayna? Let you know I can handle my business and throw it. Like, she's wild for that, but I love it. Like, that's giving you duality, right? Like, I go out there, I have my braids up, I got my mouth guard in my mouth, I'm gonna whoop your ass and I'm gonna shake. Like, go ahead, girl, do what you gotta do. Stunt.
That's such nasty work to just like to knock someone out and to just be twerking over them. Like, that's it's wild.
It's the American way, Scott. It's the American way.
you're right. It is. That is absolutely some UFC guy or girl would do.
Yes.
Here in America, 100%.
Yes. Yes. So, serviceable match, but, you know, I'm just kind of over the concept right now. Retire it for a bit. It needs to probably have some overhaul in terms of presentation. That's just me. But we had some more downtime, had to build the ring back up, get the ropes back where they needed to be for our next match, which was for the NXT North American Championship. It was our champion, our king, Obafemi versus Mark Coffey and Wesley. I would have preferred if I queued up Stand and Deliver and watched Obafemi, Josh Briggs, and Dijak from 2 months ago. That was a superior triple threat match. This was fine. I think my issue was I would have preferred this to be one-on-one, Obafemi versus Wesley. That would have been the match. It would have been better for me in terms of drama, excitement, and heat in front of a pretty heatless crowd. But hey, it would have been something a bit better than this. I think my issue is with Gallus. And I know they helped The Rock get ready for WrestleMania. And he probably said, give my guys some shine on NXT, okay? Give them a little push, give them a little nod, give them a little rub, you know? But no matter what they do, no matter what they say, no matter how they come back and beat people up, I cannot find a reason to care about Gallus. I am a hater. I am a professional hater of Gallus. Okay. When I see them, I go to sleep. When I see them, I nod off. When I see them, I'm bored. I just don't care. I didn't care about them when they first returned last year. I don't care now. There's nothing they can do that can wake me up to say, wow, it's Gallus. I'm excited. Like, when they came out there, I was bored because they decided to jump on Obafemi and Oba came back and beat their asses. Like, yes, because you suck as a faction. And thankfully, Oba took care of business, powerbombed Wesley and Coffey, got the win to retain the championship as he should. The match was all right, but I would have preferred Wesley, who's over, and Obafemi, who's over, versus Coffey, who is not over with the faction, who will never be over with Gallus. Yes, I'm a professional Gallus hater. Yes, I am. I wear that like an S on my chest, like I'm Supergirl. Yes.
Oh, my. All right. Let's see here. I didn't hate it. It was okay. And I don't disagree with you. The big man meat fest from last, I was wild too, from last PLE was definitely better, no doubt. But this was fine. You know, this was a fine triple threat. And I thought, you know, I thought Coffey looked pretty good in the match. Like, I thought he was one of the better parts. I thought Wesley was pretty tamed for a Wesley match. I thought Coffey was pretty impressive when he was lifting up Oba. Like, I thought the match was all right. I just don't think they went balls to the wall like I feel like they've been doing in his matches. And he's a guy who just seems to work better with big guys. Like, I haven't really seen a great big man, little man match that he's had. Anything on par with what he's had with some of the bigger guys in NXT. And I don't know what that reasoning is, but when he's working as, and maybe this is where the inexperience comes in, because when he's the guy who's in control and who's creating the movement and deciding what's going on, you could tell the match is slowing down. It slows down. It doesn't have that pace. But when he can just stand there and the movement can be created around him and he can react to it, or he can catch, or he can just take the bump, that's when it seems to take a different pace. And he's able to keep up with everybody step by step. And I think that was probably the biggest difference here, is he was in control. Like, the focus was on them two trying to take him out. And then there were a couple moments where you're like, maybe Coffey could win. And like, especially when he took Wesley, took Oba out in the back and Gallus came out. But yeah, I get what you're saying. There's definitely been a level. And I mentioned it earlier with the women's one too, talking about Kalani, but there definitely has been a level of expectation match quality wise with it. And this didn't hit it.
It didn't hit the mark for me. It was very unfortunate. I just didn't like the triple threat concept, because I said, we just had that 2 months ago at Stand and Deliver. Why are we doing the same setup again? Just give the match to Wesley. He's back. He beat Josh Briggs. He's earned the shot. I don't care about Gallus, with all due respect. I just don't. So I just think it was a misfire, a miscalculation by Walker HBK. And this really goes to WWE and to AEW as well. I am tired of multi-man matches for championship matches or championships. I'm kind of tired of it. I need something to actually have a bit more weight to get a title match moving forward, and just go the traditional route. Go one-on-one. Don't run back triple threats after we saw a superior match just 2 months ago. I thought it was very lazy booking by NXT to run this match against one guy that's not very over, Wesley, who just came back, and Oba Femi, who's a monster in a good way. And he's going to be a force in WWE for years to come. Corey Graves actually tweeted out, Nick Aldis, can we get Oba Femi to be on SmackDown? Like, maybe in a year or two. This guy's really good. He's got a ways to go, but it really speaks to his presence and talent that he has what it takes to really be a star on the main roster. I will give this match 2.5 power slams.
I will be a little bit more gracious. I will go with, give me 3 Coffey second row moonsaults, just because you a hater.
I can't stand you.
Just because you a hater. Give me 3 grinded up Coffey moonsaults from the second row. And one other thing, man. Somebody got to get a hold of Booker T, because this dude made about 6 or 7 Coffey references, talking about grinding stuff up. He was mentioning beans and stuff. He was calling him a cup of Joe, and like, I'm just saying, man. Like, even Vic was like, "All right, dude, like, even this Coffey thing."
He had Folgers on his mind. Folgers, Starbucks, Maxwell House. He just had Coffey on the brain, because he had to make Coffey puns throughout this match, because that is as
Joe Coffey.
They named the Joe Coffey. Like, it just opens itself up to many jokes about Coffey. And that actually gives Joe Coffey and Gallus more personality than they had before. So when you compare them to coffee beans, hey, at least you know that you can warm them up and you can percolate them to give them something to work with. Right. You know, cream. Yeah, all right. Put a little cream and sugar in there. Try to help them out. Baileys. They need Baileys to kind of juice them up a little bit. Baileys cream. That's what they need. But with that, let's move on to the semi-main event of this event.
There we go.
That should have been the main event. But then again, when I looked at the finish, I said this is why it's not the main event. So it's Jordynne Grace, the TNA Knockouts champion, versus Roxanne Perez, the NXT Women's Champion. If there was no chicanery at ringside at the end of this match, I would have said this was the best match of the night. In the ring, it was. I love the chemistry between both ladies. Jordynne Grace is a presence out there. I think that she is worthy of being in the national spotlight. I think that WWE needs to add more dates to her, run on NXT, maybe have her moonlight on the main roster as well. Jordynne Grace has it in every way. She's supremely talented and she has charisma and she stands out in a good way. And Roxanne Perez, you know, I was kind of iffy on this heel turn initially, but she's learned to, I don't have to pout to be a heel. Like, you just embrace it. You take the role on, you talk your shit, you back it up, and you embrace being the baddie. And she has, and it's reflective in how she carries herself in the ring. I love their chemistry. Bell to bell, it was great action. I really enjoyed it. Love the near falls. I thought Jordynne had to win at a couple of points. I love the physicality and viciousness of Roxanne Perez going for prop rocks, going for other maneuvers throughout this match as well, which I appreciated. So I thought all of this worked really well heading into the finish of this match, which was just really, really bad. So let's get to it, shall we? Tatum Paxley, Wednesday Adams, appears, and she's looking at the NXT Women's Championship, and then she looks at the TNA Knockouts Championship, and she grabs it, and she runs away, and Jordynne's like, what the hell is going on? Like, we're all wondering, too, what the hell is going on? So, then we have the return of the year after we just said goodbye to her a few months ago. Ash by Elegance.
Who?
Ash by Elegance.
Who?
Formerly known as Dana Brooke. Mm-hmm. Comes, I mean, she just was released by WWE less than a year ago and shows up here and she's playing tug of war with the TNA Women's Championship belt. Jordynne Grace comes out and she hits them both with her championship belt and she gets back in the ring to take care of business. Roxanne and her go back and forth for a moment. We have Jordynne go for a finisher. Roxanne hits a cutter out of that and his pop rocks to retain the NXT Women's Championship. The match until the last 3 minutes was great. It was worthy of being the main event. I wanted Jordynne Grace to win. This finish sucked in every way. This was dirt. This was trash. This was terrible. I hated it. I like Tatum Paxley. I do. But this stupid shit is dumb and it's kind of productive. Ash, Dana, welcome back, I guess. I don't care. Great match. Horrible finish.
So, couple things. First of all, you had She-Hulk just looking amazing, just being incredible. Jordynne Grace, just literally she's a walking She-Hulk. Like, she is a physical specimen, and you can just like what they thought was a distraction finish was nothing, because we just had Roxanne Perez pin Jordynne Grace clean as a whistle for no reason. I mean, literally, she just came in like the cleaning lady and left out paid in full. I mean, the house is spotless right now. Why? What are we doing? Like, I don't understand why this is happening. You know, TNA's got a pay-per-view coming, or, you know, they've got an event coming up, and Grace has got a open challenge. You know, you couldn't shock the world for a couple weeks, for a week. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody got anything out of this. And it doesn't even matter what the match was before the finish, before the last 3 minutes. You know, like, this is you bringing back somebody who's already been with the company. It doesn't mean as much. And it's not like she's setting the world on fire on Impact. And then, you know, it's not a knock on Dana or Ash by Dana. It's not a knock on her. It's just, you know, it's just not what I'm expecting. You know, I don't know, man. This wasn't it. Very disappointing. Don't really see what you really do with Jordynne Grace as far as this partnership goes going forward. Like, what now? You know, I think she's supposed to have another match, and I guess that's cool, but it's like, I don't know, man. Just seems like a wasted, missed opportunity, and just a lot of wasted time, man. A lot of investment right there, and I just don't understand the finish or what's going to happen. Like, so now who do you have beat Roxanne? Like, who do you have on that roster that is somebody you feel strong enough to have beat Roxanne, who has went through the roster and just beat Jordynne Grace? Who do you have that's like that? Who do you have that's ready for that spot? You don't. You just don't. And yeah, I just think this was a miss. I thought everything else was good. I think this was a miss right here. This gets this gets two jars for the ash.
Wow, two jars for the ash. I don't know how to take that, but I will give this 3 pop rocks, because the match until whatever that was really good. So it I can't give like a demerit because of what happened at the end. Now, it could have been 4 pop rocks out of 5, but it's down to 3. It lost a full pop rocks because the finish was so bad. And I just think that if you're trying to protect Jordynne Grace, you do better than this. There's a better way to do that than whatever you try to do here. And maybe there's going to be a crossover with Tatum Paxley and Ash and Jordynne Grace. I think so on Impact. I do. Maybe at Slammiversary. It's very possible, Scott.
No. Yes. Slammiversary?
Slammiversary.
Paxley?
Yes.
No.
Yes. They're teasing something, unless it's going to be on NXT TV.
I could see. I think they have a... I think it's Against All Odds. It's before Slammiversary, so I could see that.
Okay,
I could see that. So, man, if they send her for Slammiversary, that's great. That's wild. Like, we get WWE gets Jordynne Grace, and TNA gets Tatum Paxley. Like, that's what? I don't know, man. Against All Odds, because let me tell you, if you're right, which you normally are, especially the way I've been picking lately, which you normally are, I'd be shocked, man. I would be shocked.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Get an 11% rebate at Menards. Rust-Oleum Stops Rust custom 5-in-1 spray paint lets you choose from 5 spray patterns with a twist of the dial. It protects indoor and outdoor metal and wood projects for long-lasting results and is available in more than 40 colors. Get started on your painting project at Menards, number one in customer satisfaction, among home improvement retailers according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Save big money at Menards.
Don't undersell it. I'm just saying, because I believe that it's a possibility. And listen, Tatum Paxley's character, I can take or leave sometimes, but she is good in the ring. And when you give her, if you give her the opportunity to go out there, especially against Jordynne Grace, I think that she'll have the match of her career. So it could be Slammiversary. It very well could be at the biggest show for them, with a lot of crossover. And NXT is teasing crossovers, because we saw Wesley get jumped by a group I don't give a shit about.
That's happening.
The Rascals are reuniting, okay? And I'm here for that. Trey Miguel's going to sniff NXT, and hopefully HBK signs him this time. Stupid decision making the first time, but I digress.
I don't know if they're going to sign him, but that we're definitely getting that. Now that might happen at Slammiversary. I could see that happening. So that would be a really cool moment for Slammiversary.
Or Heatwave in Toronto.
Why not both? Why not reunite at one and show up at the other? Like, you can let this just be something that ebb and flows, and it just continues across both shows. Like, don't let it just be something that has to stop here and, you know, be here and be here. Like, let it just flow. Like, let them reunite on one and then be like, hey, if you need me, just call me. And that'd be it.
I like that idea too. So I'm here for that. Looking forward to that match whenever it takes place. Could be a Slammiversary, could be at Heatwave in Toronto in front of a very livelier crowd. Praise God for that, because this crowd here in Vegas left a lot to be desired most of the night. As we now get to our main event. It was Trick Williams, our NXT champion, versus Ego, all Ego, Ethan Page. First off, the music for All Ego. I was vibing. I was bopping. I was feeling it. I don't think Def Rebel touched this song, so that's why it was good.
Oh, he 100% touched the song, because when it was good, it was cool. And you know when he touched it, because this dude is just obsessed with like saying the person's gimmick or saying their name. I'm a smile in your face. I'm a smile in your face. Like, did you watch The Dark Knight before you made the song? Of course he touched it. Of course the Ego got Def Rebeled. Of course he did. It started out good. I was like, okay, all right, we might be on to something. Did they call CFO? Is he back?
Is CFO's back?
Like, is that what's going on? Then I heard him say, I thought he was about to say the learning tree, but then I heard him say, I'm a smile in your face from the learning tree. So, got Def Rebeled.
Damn. Def Rebel says, I'm going to give me a credit somehow on here.
God dang. You should have brought your own music. You should have went out and got your own music and just brought, hey, I'm good. I'm good, Rebel. I'm good, bro.
Yeah, commission your own music. Now, like I said, the beginning was hitting.
It was
all right. Then the lyrics kicked in. I'm like, oh, hell, let me just run it back to the top and we'll be good. But it was what it was. Trick comes out there. I'm like, Trick came out of nowhere. Like, the entrance was so quick. And, you know, Booker T got into it and it was a nice atmosphere. The fans woke up for that. As for the match itself, it happened. It was fine. It existed. It went back and forth. Ego had moments. Razor's Edge for a near fall. Trick kicks out. We have dives on the outside. Booker loses his headset. Can't hear nothing for a little bit. Vic Joseph is calling the action as Trick and Ego go back and forth. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Trick knee, Trick shot. 1, 2, 3. Trick retains the NXT championship. Ego Ethan Page, all Ego, I should say, loses his first match on NXT after demanding the world from Ava to get this championship match, and he loses. So I feel very sad that our predictions of Jordan Grace and Ego Ethan Page, all ego, I should say once again, that should have won their debut matches, ended up losing them, one in shitty fashion, one anticlimactically.
I think that this match right here, and it's not a knock on Ethan Page, because I think he's real good, and I think he's going to be a huge part of what NXT does going forward. And I, in the next calendar year, the next 12 months, I fully expect him to be NXT champion. Or he's somebody who could realistically, I could see them beating Oba for the title, for that North American title as well. But he will be a champion in the next 12 months. I'm very confident in saying that. I think this match goes to show how good Dragunov is. Like, that he was able to just drag the best out of Trick Williams and, like, just get so much movement and energy. Like, this just didn't have it. You know, this didn't have that same energy and fire and vibe to it and violence, to be honest with you. Like, maybe that's what Trick is missing. He's missing somebody to push him to that violent edge. Like, let's remember when Bron Breakker became champion on NXT. And he was on his run. A lot of his matches, you know, let me rephrase that. A lot of his better matches, his really good matches, were against the guys that hit him the hardest. His match with Gunther, his match with Dragunov. His match with Melo was good, but that's because they have a little bit of a budding rivalry. His match with Dijak, like his matches with the guys who hit him hard and wake him up, were the ones that were really good. And I feel like that's what we're going to see out of Trick Williams. Like when we see Trick go against somebody who's going to smack the hell out of him, smack him in his face and be like, yo, what's up? You better hit me back or you're going to be in for a long night. I think those are going to be the matches where we see Trick really come out of it and really step up to the plate and be like, oh, there he is. That's the guy. This was felt like a spring breaking main event instead of a PLE main event, which I guess fits perfectly for where we were inside of the ball. But it was cool. I mean, like you said, the match was cool. Nothing special. And I think this is kind of what we're going to get out of Trick matches until he starts facing, some of that form. Like a lot of those talent that I'm talking about though, they're not there anymore. Like NXT's not full of those hard hitters right now who are going to smack the hell out of you and be like, yo, you better wake up or you're going to be in for a long night. So maybe he needs a Sheamus to go down there and kick him in his freaking teeth and make him be like, yo, I'm here, boy. I'm here, man, and I'm ready.
Yeah, so, I'm glad you cleaned that up.
Yeah, don't say boy. Don't say that. that ain't going to go over well. I'm going to tell you.
Absolutely not.
But yeah, go ahead. I think that's what he's going to need to really get it to that next level.
I agree. Dragunov's gifts should always be appreciated because he brought out the best in Trick, and Trick was always there for everything they did together. And I kind of go back to Bron Breakker doing his time in NXT, and he was great. We always saw his potential, but you know what really took him to the next level? Working with the Floating Head, JD McDonagh, and Ilya Dragunov, and Tyler Bate. British Strong Style was something that Bron was able to tap into, and he excelled. It kind of unlocked something that he didn't realize he had, that he can go toe-to-toe with the very best and still hold his own and still learn something different by working with those guys. I think that Trick would benefit from working British Strong Style. But as you said, the limitations, it's just the resources of that talent is not on NXT anymore. And as you possibly suggested, call Sheamus down to NXT. That'll be a way to do that, to kind of give Trick that repetition and give him that experience, because you are going to see very basic matches of this level that he's going to be good at, but this is why he's so undevelopmental. Like, yes, his gimmick and his character's over on the main roster, there's recognition there, but the work isn't there yet. I think he will get there, but that requires him to work with a plethora of opponents that can really figure out who Trick is as a worker. I think he has a style to him that can be a bit of a striker, that can be a bit of a brawler, but it needs to be finessed a bit more, that can kind of hone in the technique and time. The potential's there. I see it, but he needs more time and he needs a wide range of opponents to bring that out of him as well. Match was solid, was not great. You could see this on any NXT on a Tuesday night, slap a special on it, as you said, and call it a day. But for the PLEs, they need to be a bit stronger because Dragunov is not there to carry. He has to do it on his own. He will, but it just takes great opponents to bring that out of him so he can continue to learn along the way. It's not doable because we've seen this with a lot of people who grew and learned at NXT who got better with time. Tiffany Stratton is a prime example of that.
Yeah, but Tiffany had the benefit of having a lot of, well, not a lot, but she had a decent amount of veterans to work with at the time of her being there. And we saw kind of where she hit a wall. And then when she went to the main roster, you can see that improvement kind of picked back up. Like she's picking up right where she left off, and she's definitely improved from when she first debuted on the main roster to now. So I think, you know, Trick, everybody, just about everybody there has worked longer than Trick, who he's working with, but you're still like, there's not those guys like we talked about, like Noam is somebody who can hit him hard and who can really wake him up. And I think we'll have a really good match with him. But once you go past that, like Dijak's somebody you can still go back to, you can have a good match with. I know you don't like him, but Coffee is somebody that Trick can have that's somebody that's going to smack the hell out of Trick. And Trick's really going to have to bring it in. And if he doesn't, he's going to get beat up. He's going to get beat the hell up in the corner if he doesn't, because Coffee's going to hit you. And we saw that. So I think he is somebody that can really bring that out of Trick, especially with the style that he wrestles. And Trick will have the numbers game working against him. I think there's a lot of good that could come from a Gallus Trick Williams TV kind of feud.
That will require the people to care about Gallus. That will require me to care about Gallus.
The people boo Gallus now. They boo him. They will boo Gallus.
Okay. Half-hearted boos. It's not from the chest. It's not from the soul. It's like boo.
You said they're not even boos. They're more like groans.
Groan like this. Oh. Great, Troy. Like, Gallus has got to present a strong case, like strong level promo to sell me on any match combination, whether it's Joe or Mark against Trick, Wolfgang, maybe, I don't know. But y'all got to sell me. You got to get on a microphone and sell me and convince the people that I should care about you. You say that it could be Mark or Joe, but you got to make me care emotionally about you smacking Trick. Because if you smack him, I'm like, okay, you smacked him. And I'm not impressed. Make me care. I need to care emotionally. When they come out there, I want to go to sleep. So they have to do better.
No, I get it. And that is an important part of what of Trick's whole thing is, kind of his story and fighting from underneath. But I just think that style will work. And I, you know, there's not a lot of people who can bring that out of him. Like, I'm just thinking on the roster right now, like who is even there that I would consider a hard hitter, especially from who we've seen down there. Like, who would I consider a hard hitter down there? And it's Nathan Frazier and Axiom, they hit pretty hard, but they're both baby faces. They're already in a tag team. So it's just not a lot of options for them.
It's not. So I need Dwayne to do me a favor. Since Gallus helped you get ready for WrestleMania, can you help them cut good promos? Can you return the favor? Can you help them tap into...
You don't think God cuts good promos?
Listen, they don't affect me. Like, yeah, you can talk, but can you sell me on your match?
I'm surprised by that. Mark's pretty good. I think Mark's pretty good. Joe just kind of screams at me, but Mark was all right. I'm surprised by that.
Listen, I need more. I need Rock to say, here's my mana. take it. Here's my mana and take it. And I need you to figure it out and get the chills I have.
You can't just transfer energy. What is he going to give him? The stick that you can't hold upside down, and you hold it like this. If you hold it upside down, you lose the power. Don't hold it upside down like that. You can't just transfer it. What can I say? Except you're welcome. He's gonna start singing too as he hands it to him. Like,
yes, listen. He's gonna cut his arm, right? He's gonna say, "Here's the mana. Here's the mana. Here it is. It's yours. Take it. Take it. Infuse it. Use it. Try. Damn it. Try." Yes, I'm a Gallus hater. I'm like a hard on for them in terms of hate. I'm sorry.
Oh, man. No, it's great. It's great. I've found your Miz. I've genuinely, I didn't know you had somebody that you could put in that could be in the car with the Miz right now. And He might be in the driver's seat right now.
Listen, for all of the Miz's many faults, the one thing he will always do is when the time comes, he will give you a good promo.
He will.
And he will rise to the occasion when he needs to. And I can respect that. The Miz can make me care about his matches when he's on. Gallus can't do that for me right now. So until that changes, I'm going to be the residential Gallus hater. I've planted my real estate. I'm sitting on my lawn and I'm not moving. So with that, I'm going to give this match 3 trick knees.
Oh, that sounds like some type of procedure. I would go with, man, I don't even know. Let's go with 3 1/4 theme songs ruined by Def Rebel.
Wow. Wow.
One other thing. Shout out to Mike the Miz, who is now with Ricochet leaving the greatest high flyer. He's not the second. Rey Mysterio is the greatest. But he's not the second greatest high flyer in WWE.
Now at this point, it's time to cut off your microphone. You've taken
it
too far.
Remember that great high flying match you had with Ricochet when they were just flying all around the ring, springboarding into each other?
Listen, that was the one time Lucha Miz was activated for reasons that defied all kinds of logic, but he was cooking, not gonna lie.
He was cooking that night.
Like the spirit of Rey Mysterio 1995 hopped into the body of the Miz and he felt that energy. Good for him. So, yeah. We ain't gonna forget it. Now, him being the second greatest high flyer on Monday Night Raw, lies. 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 When you have Io Sky there, the lies you are telling, Kairi Sane, the lies you are spewing.
Come on.
Stop. Come on. Come now. On. All right. With that, it's now time to put a bow on this review of a very so-so NXT Battleground, probably the weakest PLE they've done in a minute. So, Scott, your final score on a scale of 1 to 10 tiers.
Oh, man. You know, I'm going to give this the amount of tiers, the same amount of black women that were in the ladder match. 5 tiers.
You read my mind. 5 tiers out of 10. Very mid-show, very disappointing show. And the fact there was an 83.3% chance of a black woman winning that match is a supreme blessing. We're very happy about that. I did not expect Kalani Jordan to get the win, but good for her. Scott said she's going to get...
Is she mixed too?
I don't know.
I was just wondering. She looks mixed. So I was just curious how much black won.
Oh my God.
I'm just curious because, you know, Meechan repping multiple. You know what I'm saying? Like there's multiple people being represented right here. So I just didn't know if she was representing multiple people or not.
Well, listen, the melanation was melanating. Okay. So hey, good for her, and we celebrate. Okay.
They knew better than to give that title to Fallon, though. I can tell you that. They knew better than to give that title to Fallon. I can tell you that. I know that didn't happen. I'll tell you what.
Oh my goodness. All right. So with that, it's It's time to put a bow on the show. We'll be back Tuesday night after NXT, the post episode of this Battleground Shindig special from Las Vegas, a place I hope they never go back to until WrestleMania, with all due respect to UFC Apex. I hate to say it, but now I understand why this place sucks in terms of atmosphere. Facts. But we'll be back on Tuesday talking about Monday Night Raw, NXT, a little SmackDown too. But Scott, thank you for always joining me to talk all things WWE as we recapped the highs and lows from NXT Battleground.
Thank you, Keila. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. I'll be in a better mood Tuesday, hopefully. Don't expect Monday Night Raw to be worse than this. And if it is, boy, oh boy, I'll be pissed off because I already know NXT is going to be just like the... I already know the first show after the PLE is going to be just like this. So not expecting much. Looking forward to a great salty show on Tuesday.
It's going to be a spectacular salty show. Have your salt shakers ready, people. It's going to be a good one.
Salt shaker, shaker.
I knew that was coming.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
Just because you had your hands up and you was shaking. You was getting ready to do what you got to do, which I appreciate it. So we'll be back Tuesday live on YouTube to run it back once again, talking all things WWE with a double dose of the rap for your listening pleasure. So for myself and for Salty Scott Young, that is a wrap for all things NXT Battleground going down live from the UFC Apex Arena. Take care and bye-bye.
Prime Day is coming July 16th and 17th with epic deals exclusively for Prime members. You'll feel like you just won an award.
Oh, wow. I didn't even prepare a speech. I'd like to thank my family for always needing stuff. Also, Sam, my delivery guy, for bringing all my awesome deals so fast. You're the man, Sam!
Shop deals on electronics, home, and more this Prime Day, July 16th and 17th.
Just like backyard barbecues or a day at the pool, the Three Rivers Festival has always been a part of our summer fun. And the festival returns July 12th to the 20th. It kicks off with the annual Three Rivers Festival Parade. Browse art in the park with local artisans. Bring the family to Children's Fest. Stroll through Junk Food Alley. And don't forget about the festival concerts at the Hoosier Lottery stage with live music from nationally renowned acts. You can buy your concert tickets or check out a schedule of events at threeriversfestival.org. Don't miss the best summer experience in Fort Wayne, the Three Rivers Festival.